Luke 8, verse 24. We're talking about the word rebuked. Epitimio. And remember, it means to show honor, which is just strange, but it's used several times in the New Testament for rebuke or censure severely, or also to show honor. So everybody remember what that we talked about that? Kind of, sort of? It's only it's the same idea that it's a constant throughout the scriptures, that the only one that can bless someone is someone that's greater. And in the Psalms, when it's the psalm that says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me," it should read, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." And the same thing is true with regard to rebuking. The instinctive place is that you can't rebuke somebody that's above you. And it's the same thing, is that this showed that the reason for this word is the word means that even the winds had to honor him. Even the raging waves had to honor him. Even the devils had to honor him. Even fever had to honor him. And that's why that word is used.
So if someone says bless you, is that a little condescending?
Yep. It's a lot condescending.
Sounds like it.
I never found that condescending. I remember people used to say, "Bless your heart."
It's the same thing.
How about my sister?
How about God?
God bless you is fine.
Bless your heart. You heard say something.
All right.
Hey, John. God bless you is okay.
God bless you is okay, but just bless you is not.
I think it's understood. It's God bless you.
I mean, people say that all the time.
I know.
You give somebody a dollar on the street corner and they say, "Bless you."
There's a scripture.
It's God bless you. I wouldn't say, "I bless you." It's kind of weird.
Really?
When you say "bless you," I think it's understood that it's God bless you.
Yeah.
All right, go to Luke 4.
At least it's one of the things you need to understand the implications.
Exactly. Yeah. What you're saying.
Verse 38, when he came out, he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. So he rebuked a fever. Now, again, we have these guys rebuking everything. "I rebuke you, cancer. I rebuke you." Well, the only way that can be said is by Christ in you. It's the same way of being in Jesus' name. I can't emphasize that enough. To be in his name means to be in his nature. It means that you are dead. And if the evidence of your life indicates that you haven't seen your death, that you're teaching or preaching how-tos, then to be in Jesus' name is impossible. Everybody understand that a little bit? Let's see where he talked to his disciples. Go to Mark 8. rebuked his disciples. It's epitimeo. Time is the word for honor in Greek. And if it's epitimeo, it means that it's a great honor. A great. It just emphasizes the word.
Where's the rebuke part of that definition? It's not just honor, is it?
Yeah.
That's it. Well, I thought there were two parts to it.
No. Two parts is honor, but it's intensified by epi. All right. Mark 8. Let's start in verse 9. We start in verse 51. It came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And as when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, You know not what manner of spirit you are, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save. And they went to another village. Now let's go to compare that to Luke 19. It's much greater than it. They were speaking from the evil one's position
when they
wanted to command fire to come down. So it's not just a simple correction; it's a rebuke.
And look, was rebuking him?
No, Jesus did.
Jesus rebuking.
All right, Luke. We're going to go to Luke 19. This is sort of the opposite thing.
I guess I'm comparing it to exhort.
To what?
Exhort.
No, it's a different.
Yeah, it's different.
This is when they were coming into the Passover. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice.
What verse?
37. Excuse me. For all the mighty works that they had seen. Now this is not just, this is all the people, remember, as he was coming into. This is on the 10th of Nisan. Slaying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory to the highest, or in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Now, I'm trying to find, wait a minute, let me see where we are. can't I find things? I fell down this morning, and I'm a little shaken and hurt and bleeding.
Why did you fall down?
Well, I was watching Pete get Jasmine, and I was standing on the steps, and I was going to go say hi to Jasmine, and I didn't realize that I was on one more step, and I went.
Pete did
the
same
thing. Yeah, I almost did hit that. That's the F-Blues I've seen in a year. Yeah, it's all over them.
When?
Just as I was finishing up walking
Jasmine.
He didn't actually hit the ground, but he was pretty close to it.
Well, I hit the ground, and my knee, I'm back. Huh?
Not
I was not graceful. Well, this doesn't use the word rebuke, but it's the same idea. So let's go to Matthew 16, starting in verse 21. Well, let's see. Let's start before that. Verse 13. When they came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, some others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." But he saith unto them, "But whom say you that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again on the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." So Peter was rebuking Jesus. Now, think of that. Now, Peter put himself above the Christ. Now, what did he...
So he really didn't have a right to do it.
But listen to what he said. But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. For thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest the things, not the things that be of God, but those that of men be that, I'm sorry, but those that be of men." Now think of that. Peter was saying what every one of us would have said. That Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest the things that be of men and not of God." Why? Let's go to Exodus 14. Maybe 12, one of those. I can't find it. But it says, the law of Passover said that all must kill the sacrifice. Now, that had to be fulfilled in Christ. And so everyone, in essence, the human race, had to partake of the killing of the sacrifice. Each one of us had to crucify him. Now, there is no sin greater than that. And that's why you must know, because of that, that you are the chief of sinners, and you have no rights, you have no expectations. Because if you don't know that you killed the sacrifice, then you can't know that you're the chief of sinners. Now, that's a weird construction in the law, because the law says clearly that all must kill the sacrifice, the Passover. But if you don't know that you've killed him, that's why he is rejected of all men. Let's go to Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm? Or, is it, you know, the arm there is the seed, the Zeruah. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. But in the Hebrew, he's despised and rejected of all men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Now, if you don't understand what I'm saying, then you will have accepted another Jesus as your personal Savior. You can't accept him. The human race can't accept him. All that can be done is that when it pleased the Lord to reveal his Son in me. But if he hasn't revealed the Son in me, there's no salvation. And there can't be two of you. That's what everything in the Bible is about. It has nothing to do with you. Oh, I'm getting better. No, you're not. Unless you know you're getting worse, or you see yourself as worse, there's no revelation. But he didn't do this for me. You savor us the things that be of men and not of God.
So when people walk down the aisle to get saved, that real or not?
Well, all I can tell you is in the church in the first century, there was no such thing as an altar call. If you're savoring the thing, if you're preaching a God who will give you something that other men want, that men want, then you're preaching the wrong Jesus. If you esteem anything or value anything that the world values, you've accepted the wrong Jesus. You are they that justify yourselves among men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed or esteemed at all among men is an abomination unto God, is abomination. Everything that's in the golden cup of the whore of Babylon is something that the human race values. You understand it costs you everything? That's why you cannot accept this mystery until you know the end, the futility, the emptiness of everything else. Because you will automatically try to use the mystery to enhance your own position in some way.
It's not even a choice.
What?
You don't have a choice about that. Like you say, it's automatic. You can't even be sincere.
That's why if you give breath to any aspect of your mind or your emotions, you've fallen. You're back in the world. You're back in the outer darkness. That's the outer darkness. Isn't some dealy out there? The outer darkness is the Jews considered all Gentiles as being in the outer darkness. They're outside in the parable of the tabernacle in the wilderness. Remember, you couldn't even get into the tabernacle. You couldn't go through the door until all of the waters of cleansing had taken place. Until the sin offering and the trespass offering had taken place. And if you know that the sin offering is you, then finally only he and his bride can enter into the tabernacle. So in the world, he's not the way. He's only the way, the truth, and the life in from the point of the door to the mercy seat. Oh, God is showing me that God wants to give you what you want. No. They're preaching another Jesus. If I yet please men, I should not be the servant of God. This is serious. What are you doing, Gary?
Thinking about how that functions and the hours you spend during the day encountering people, thoughts, what happens, whether you repent, whether you don't, whether you even see it.
All right, anybody understand this? A little bit.
I have something to say about it. I've been thinking a lot about, the timeo is honor, and I've been thinking a lot about that. And if you have made God in your own image instead of the other way around, so that you're asking for things that make sense to the world, then maybe at some real level, you're rebuking the real God for not giving you what you want.
That's what you do. That's what murmuring is.
Well, anyway, that was my
question. Yeah, that's good. That's what murmuring and complaining is. Murmuring, especially, because murmuring.
Keep my mouth shut, too.
Murmuring is what you do when you keep your mouth shut.
Oh, okay. I should open my mouth more often.
You'll get it right one of these days.
Complaining is what you do openly. Remember when we were doing some intense idolatry investigation, and you could tell, I mean, it was like evident in the room when somebody was an ally with the one being on the hot seat. And what happened? I went nuts, not about the one on the hot seat, but the one that was an ally. I didn't care if he was an ally if he spoke it, but to not speak it and be an ally.
That seems to be part of the thing. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven.
All right. Agree. It means that what it says. Whatever you bind has already been bound, and whatever you loose has already been loosed. All right. Go back to Luke. We're going to get to one more thing here. He rebuked the wind and the raging water, and they ceased. The raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was calm. The wind is interesting. The wind is not the normal word we think of wind for spirit, you know, the pneumos. But here it's anemos. And it's used in an interesting way. It's used a couple interesting ways, and we're going to have time to look at one. Let's go to Ephesians 4. That'll be the last we study today. Verse 11, gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, as you know, I don't think that's five different people. I think that's the office of what happens. The apostle falls into the ground and dies because, you know, he probably tries not to speak, but he ends up speaking, so therefore he's an evangelist. Well, he's a prophet because he can't help. But remember that prophet isn't foretelling; it's forthtelling. Remember that. There are no more prophets. There's only now not foretelling, but forthtelling. So there's an apostle falls into the ground and dies. He can do nothing but speak because the word burns in your heart. Because of that, he's an evangelist because some will hear. And then, once they hear, then pastor-teacher is, remember that Granville construction where pastor-teacher is the same thing. Pastor comes from a word that, from where we get our word pasture. And it's the idea of feeding the flock and caring for the flock. Anyhow, that's not the point. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, perfecting means being fully tested. The purpose of the preaching of the cross is to test everything. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what it means to have the Word made flesh in you. Now, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, the wind of doctrine is all of your ideas about something. You're carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. And sleight means what?
Deception.
Tricks, yeah. And it's, that's what your mind's purpose. It's not somebody else that's doing it. It may be, but it has to be you that is trying to, you want tricks to do stuff. And some of you want more tricks than others. By the slight, do we all come in the unity? Wait a minute. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, where they lie in wait to deceive. It's the same idea as, let's go to 2 Corinthians 11, then we'll quit. I said that before, didn't I?
2 Corinthians 4:11.
11.
And I heard it's not good.
Neither do you seeing.
Back to. Back to I.
Would to God you would bear with me and a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Your mind will be corrupted if you don't empty. It's automatic. Because you still believe that there's something that you can do. There's some value. You can do something for God, or something to protect yourself, or something to improve yourself. For once and for all time, you've got to hear this. Today, this very second, you have been perfected forever by one offering. You are perfect as you are. Everything is finished. You own all things. All things exist for your purpose. You are as high as the human race can get. And you're going to belittle it by complaining or wanting more than you have?
I have a question.
Just think of this. Don't let your mind deceive you anymore. As the serpent beguiled Eve with his subtlety, so your mind, serpent mind, serpent mind. You cannot apprehend. You must be apprehended. The only way you will be apprehended is by total and complete emptiness. If you try to learn with your mind, then you're trying to use something that's cursed to gain something that's blessed. It can't happen. Amen? What's your question? You probably don't want to ask it.
Not really.
I figured. That's why I wanted to finish the thought before I said, what's your question? How about repentance?
Very tight.
How about, Father, forgive me? It's done. It's finished. What? Do you understand? Is there anybody that cannot say amen? I'm going to trick you this time.
Raise your hand. Don't say amen.
Take it, big guy. It's Friday.
Huh? No putting your hands in the water.
I'll put gloves on. Huh? Pete and I have it down pat. Would you get me one of those hoochie thingies? We have gloves here.
I don't know if we have gloves. I got blue gloves.
Thank you. Street foot, Louisiana, they sleep, and I'm like, wash the blood off of us. So.
Good. It's about
thanks.
6 pounds lighter now?
Yeah.
It's this thing right here. It's lost its little rubber piece.
So, Jerusalem, you don't look like Ronnie.
Ronnie was in a deep conversation with Gary Buckner.
He didn't hear you.
I did. Ronnie heard me.
Plus, she already wrote it down anyway.
About that.
Yeah, I have a few.